a little bit back and forth today. We enjoy him. But now that we got to know him, we begin to love them. As we get them to love them, we enjoy them. Susan's been talking about since we've gotten back, what can we do? How can we fix up our basement so that we can have them stay with us when we come back next time for fertile next summer? And because she wants to spend time with them. We get joy from being with them. Well, how much more is the joy that we get from knowing Christ? Christ is different than us. Randy and Carrie, you know, they have their problems. But so does Susan. So do Susan and I. We have our problem, but Christ is perfect. And as we get to know who he is and what he has done for us, the more we know him, the more we love him, and the more joy we can have in that relationship with him. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to start looking in verse 1. It says, finally, my brothers. Now, normally when you see here, finally, you think, okay, he's going to wrap it up here. And this is the ending. But as you already know, we've got two chapters left. This is like the pastor who said, and I'm going to put and then he goes, finally, I'm concluding, but it can also mean furthermore. And that's what this is talking about right here. Furthermore. Furthermore, my brother. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. How many times in the book of Philippians does it say rejoice in the Lord? It talks about the joy in the Lord. 11 times. And right here, rejoice. The rejoicing isn't because of our problems. We don't rejoice in the problems. But during the problems, in the problems, we rejoice in the Lord. Paul, where did he write the book of Philippians from? In prison. What's the theme of the book? Joy. He was in prison. He could be given the death penalty. But he was going to rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter our situation. You could be given a diagnosis of terminal cancer, but we can still rejoice in the Lord. Because joy doesn't come from the circumstances. Joy comes from knowing in our relationship with Jesus. Let's continue on. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Now, we're not exactly sure what the same thing he's talking about, if he's talking about something specific, or it could be, and it probably is, everything that he's talking about. So, what does he say next? Look out. On Thursday, and I didn't have one yet, and so I told her, put it, who let the dogs out? But she wouldn't put that in the bulletin. But look out for the dogs. Now, is he literally talking about telling them to be careful for wild dogs? No. He's talking about false teachers. And when he's comparing them to these dogs. Now, these dogs aren't pets that he's talking about, that he's saying to be worried about. These are the wild scavengers. We don't have a big problem with that here in Indiana, but in other parts of the world, there's wild dogs.
and they cause a lot of problems. In the time of a corrupted God. And so he tells them, look after these dogs, these false teachers. Paul calls them dogs. Jesus in Matthew 7 calls them ravenous wolves. He says, beware, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You might be thinking, well, what does joy have to do with this? Patience, please. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Look out for the evildoers, the second thing. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers. These evildoers, he's just saying a different name for these dogs, for these false teachers. These false teachers, they're dogs. The next one is what? But the evildoers, what are they evildoers? This is what they're preaching. You need to do works. You need to complete all of the law. Make them evildoers. It's because they reject to pay for our sins. So then we in the world as well. Think of prosperity gospel. This is what they teach. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy. Is that what the Bible teaches? These are dogs that teach this. They're evildoers. Another example is just this week, as we all know that last Saturday, Donald Trump was shot in the right ear. And I've seen so many things on the internet about taking that and applying the Bible. Did you know that Leviticus, it says that blood on the ear is a sign of consecration to God? And that when Trump was shot, is that what Leviticus is teaching? No. These are examples of people that are preaching things that aren't God's word. These are false. These things. So look out for the dog, look out for evildoers, and look out for those who mutilate the flesh. When it's talking about those who mutilate the flesh, you might think, what does that mean? It's talking about circumcision. Back in the Old Testament times, all the Jews were circumcised on the eighth day after they were born. In order for let's say you move to Israel and you want to worship the true God, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Is that true? No. Circumcision means nothing, but that's what they were doing. That's what these dogs, these false teachers, were teaching. Well, who are the circumcision? Verse 3, it says, for we
Christians, the true believers. This isn't physically circumcision. This is spiritually that he's talking about here. He's writing to the Philippians. Many of the people in the Philippian church were Gentiles. Was merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Circumcision was an outward sign that someone's a child of God. Now we have an inward sign, and that is the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, what are the marks of the true believers? Let's look in chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God in glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Worship here, we think of worship, we're in a worship service right now. Singing praises to God, giving offerings, and listening to the message. We think that's worship, and that is part of it. But when this worship here is not just that, worship here is giving respectful spiritual service. Look what it says in Romans 12:1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body." So here in this verse, what is spiritual worship? It's presenting your body, living a life. Is a life transformation. And in Matthew chapter 15, it says, "You hypocrites, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." These false teachers, are they worshiping God? No. In vain do they worship me, it says here. But they're teaching that we should obey commands that were given by God. Aren't they worshiping the true God? No. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And they weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping themselves and what they can do. Look at me. Follow my example. I are trusting in themselves, and they've rejected the plan of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to think back from the moment that you got saved until now. How has your life since you have become a Christian? If your life has not changed, there's a problem. Because one of the marks of a true believer is that their lives are going to be changed. Their lives are going to be to worship by the Spirit. Second thing is, how are our lives changed? Worship, or how do we worship? Worship by the Spirit of God. Worship by the Spirit of God. How were the false teachers worshiping? Where was their power to obey the law? Where was it? Themselves. But when Spirit. We worship by the Spirit of God. You know what the fruit of one of the fruits of the Spirit is? Joy. If we're believers, true believers should be marked by a life of joy. So the first thing, the mark is worship by the Spirit of God. Second thing is glory, glory in Christ Jesus. Glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:17 says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This word glory in Christ Jesus, some of your Bibles might say boast. That's what this means, is glory. Boast in Christ Jesus the Lord. It's that we should be praising God. In his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. False teachers, where was their delight? In themselves. You know, God must be pretty proud of me. I'm doing pretty good. And that's where their delight was. Their boasting was in how they could fulfill the commands. But our delight, our joy comes from Jesus. We boast in what he has done, not in what I have done. Probably many of you this week, maybe not many, maybe some of you, watched the Republican National Convention on TV. What do they do in this? They spend 4 days. Yeah, I think it was Monday through Thursday, I think. They spent 4 days. Everybody speaker that gets up, he comes up and he points out the problem. And then they point to Trump as the answer to solve. That's what our life should be with Christ. We should be constantly living our life. That's what it means to glory in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to boast in him. It's praising him, giving him all of the glory. And that's the mark of a true believer. The third mark is putting no confidence in the flesh. The last part of the verse says, and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul was one of these people who put confidence in the flesh. His confidence is in the flesh. For on themselves and others. Then Paul.
understand who they were, but and finally, blameless under the law. And once again, maybe the outward actions, but the inward, the heart, was not. If salvation comes from following these things right here, we'd be in trouble. Even Paul would be in trouble, because salvation does not come from the law. This kind of thinking that salvation comes from the law leads to arrogance. Look at Paul. Look at all the accomplishments that he could list here. Now, he's not boasting in this moment. We're going to see in just a second that he renounces, he counts them all as loss. But thinking as a Pharisee, salvation is not by works, so that no man may boast. It's not by what we do. A works-based system of salvation produces two things. It can produce, on one side, and on the other side, I can't. And the truth is, none of us can. But Paul realized that this was not right. Jerry Bridges says this: our worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace, and your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. Paul may have lived a great life, but he still needed God's grace every day. These over here, they thought, I can never live. You know what? We all. What did Paul do with all these things? Look at verse 7. It says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. Verse 8 says, indeed, I count everything as loss. Anthony Richardson, the quarterback of the Colts. Let's say that this year he leads the Colts to the playoffs. He wins the MVP in the league. The Colts go undefeated this season. He takes them to the Super Bowl, and they win the Super Bowl this year. And the I'm retiring from football. What? You just won the Super Bowl. Something that's more important than football. I want to be a kindergarten teacher. Because teaching those kids is more important than playing a game. But you are so famous now, and you haven't even gotten your big contract yet. In a couple years, you're going to be making $50 million a year, plus all the Paul was like Anthony Richardson. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was one of the big.
That was more valuable. That's Christ. But whatever I gain, in verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Christ was what was important in his life. Let's review. First of all, in verse 1, we see rejoice in the Lord. Second, look out for the dawn. True worship. Indeed, I count everything as loss, the passing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What was his goal? To know Christ. Having his righteousness by faith. Okay, 50. Let's say I live the next 50 years of my life and I don't sin one time. Is that good enough to get me to heaven? Why not? Because I already have 50 years of sin in my life. And frankly, I don't know if I can make it through the day without sinning, let alone 50 years. We are sinners, and if we are trusting and obeying the law, we have to keep all of it from birth. But Jesus did fulfill. Look what it says in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Through him. In myself, I'm lost. So the first thing is his righteousness is in justification, being forgiven of our sins. The second is through sanctification in verse 10, knowing him intimately in sanctification. That's the process of becoming more like Christ. It says in verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share. So Paul's goal how many of us want to know? Well, I hope there's more of us than that that want to have that God's power in our lives. But the second thing that he says here, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share. but they're not separable. This word right here in the Greek, it's the power. Because of persecution, because of suffering. Paul took the persecution, took the suffering, and he embraced it because he knew that the result. Many of you here today are suffering. Some from illnesses, some from family issues, some economic problems. There's many different kinds of issues that are going through the church. And most of the time, this is how we pray. We pray like Paul did at the beginning. God, please take this problem away from me. Take this suffering away. But we need to get to the point where we say, God, thank you for this suffering because you're going to use it to help me to be transformed in the image of Christ. And I know that you have. Paul wanted to. I might need to restart. Okay, there it goes. Good. Good. Anyway, getting back to this, Paul embraced these trials, and we're going to have trials too. We're going to have suffering, but we need to look at them as this is where God is going to work in my life. God is going to use this to help me to become more like Christ. He might be allowing this so that I can grow to be more like him in a specific sin area that I struggle with. We need to focus on him, get to know him and the power of his resurrection, and and share in his suffering. Next, in verse 11, it says that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, first of all, he says by any means possible. Is that saying he's doubting, not sure whether he's going to be resurrected from the dead in the last day? No, because we are. To think that he, a man, what's the result of knowing Christ? It's joy. Joy. The more we know Christ, do you have joy in your life? Do you have joy? If you don't have joy, maybe it's because you don't know Christ. Because one of the marks is that we have joy if we're truly born again, if we've trusted in Christ as our Savior. Are you sure that you have, are you sure that you are that you know Christ? Joy comes from knowing Him. And are you sure that you know Christ? True believers worship by the Spirit and glory in Christ. True believers worship by the Spirit and glory in Christ. Does your life reflect that? A life worshiping Christ? And a life we know Christ by the perfect work of Christ. Are you 100% sure that if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? It's only by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross, recognizing that I'm a sinner and there's nothing that I can do. And is your goal to know Christ? How can we know Christ? Well, first of all, it's faith in His work on the cross. We have to know that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. Second, by reading and meditating His words. How do we get to know Christ? Going to the Word, reading it, studying it, meditating. In chapter 129, it's that Paul says, God, Wayne Vanderweer, one thing he says a lot is when we're going through suffering, we need to worship our way through it. We need to worship God. And to give us the joy. Finally, praise God, glory or boast in Christ. Many times, instead of boasting and praising Christ in the times of suffering, what do? Complain. Oh, I can't believe that this isn't fair. I can't believe that person did that to me. I can't believe, why me? But instead, we need to turn to Christ and praise Him. Need to keep our focus on Him. When we're going through struggles and difficulties in lives, in our lives, joy. Finally, some action steps to know Christ this week. First of all, make sure your sins are forgiven. If you're here and you're not 100% sure that your sins are forgiven, I would love to talk to you after the service. Come find me. I'd love to show you what God's Word says, how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Number two, read the Bible daily this week. I want you, as you're reading, you can read whatever you're currently reading, but as you're reading, find a verse or a couple verses that talk about God, about Christ and what He's done for us. Jot that verse down and read it throughout the day. And as you read it, don't just read it, but first of all, but then work with God. Maybe the things that you need to do to work with God. And glorify, praise Jesus alone and with others. So when I say alone and with others, in your time of praying, God, You are in control of these problems. It says right here in Your Word,
want you to be prepared to share on God, boast in God tonight as we meet. And we need to have our focus not on ourselves, not on the problems, but on Christ. When we do this correctly, when we know God, and as we get to know Him more, do you have joy? You can, and it comes by knowing Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning that we can be here to worship you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to know you more and more every day, and help us to worship you with our lives. And I pray that you would help us to take what we've learned from your word, take Paul's example, and to count all of our good things, all of the accomplishments as trash, to know you and to know your glory, and help us to praise you with our lives, and help us to rejoice in you always. In Jesus' name, amen.